The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We begin with the Gardaí struggling to recruit and retain because Gardaí numbers continue to fall due to resignations and retirements, and with dozens of successful new candidates choosing not to take up their places, the ongoing recruitment campaign for the force seems to be faltering. I'm joined on the line by Mark O'Mara, President of the Gardaí Representative Association. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Anton. How are you?
I'm very good. Mark, the recruitment and retention challenges, what's driving them?
I mean, there's a host of reasons, Anton, I suppose, but I mean, we in the GRA have long been highlighting the crisis of recruitment and retention. In fact, we've been accused of risking a self-fulfilling prophecy by Garda management, and we were met with denial on the issue. So this was hugely unjust, and all of the issues that we raised on behalf of our members have been justified. But at last, an acknowledgement and an admission that there's a major problem has been made. But if we think there's a problem now, we need to wait until April next year when, because of an increased recruitment drive back in the mid-90s, those members will have completed a full 30-year service and they'll be eligible to retire as of April next year, which is going to increase even further the numbers retiring and resigning. And by their own admission, both the Garda Commission and the Minister for Justice publicly have admitted that the wheels of progress are slower than they would like them to be. Well, we need them to push those wheels faster and to ensure that they deliver a solution quicker than they have been up to this point. No point admitting that we have a problem in a competitive job market. That's not a good enough answer. You have to make our job more attractive. And we think that is one of the major problems, that our job is not seen to be an attractive job.
You and I have spoken about this before. You talk about banging this drum for some time. And one of the things that you have raised is the level of support that sworn members feel that they have, that the concern that either top management may not back them or that GSOC may end up investigating them in a punitive way for doing their jobs. How big a factor is that?
It's a huge factor. I mean, you know, when we have reduced numbers and an increased workload, and then what we would see as an excessive oversight. And as I said to you before, it's not that we don't welcome and acknowledge oversight. We do, of course we do. But it's much more stringent than you would have in any other private sector. You've got, as I say, suspensions, dismissals, prosecutions, fines and so on. You don't have that level of oversight within the private sector. And I do acknowledge that our role is slightly different and that puts in a unique position. But that in itself causes a major problem. The strict application of suspensions where members are suspended for years and years and years is not one that is conducive to making our job appear attractive to members of the public coming in. And that is a major problem for us. And it's trying to get, people in. We've highlighted, or at least the article today has highlighted, that members are prospective members are not taking up the offer on that position. Well, it's very difficult when you see the training allowance, which is less than the minimum wage, being offered to these people for 6-7 months. Before they start into the job. I mean, to increase the age limit from 35 to 50 will do little, because those people are already quite often in their career path that it will prohibit them from coming into a Garda Síochána on a €304 a week training allowance. That's not going to encourage people to come in.
To what extent, Mark, and I don't mean to be disparaging about the career in our Garda Síochána, but to what extent is this a cyclical issue? There are times when we have full employment and when people are living relatively high on the hog, and in relative terms, we are in one of those cycles. One would have thought that at that stage, what are seen as long-term, stable, permanent, pensionable gigs suffer slightly as people chase other employment. And if we have a bit of a downturn, suddenly the guards become more attractive.
And that's acknowledged fact by ourselves. You know, I do acknowledge that and wouldn't dispute that. But nonetheless, what is needed now is to make our job as it is more attractive, not only for those coming in and looking to come in, but also for those who are in the job 5, 10, 15, 20 years, to retain those members. And that is something that can be done internally within the job, both by Garda management and indeed by government. And while, as I said, the issue has been acknowledged, that's not good enough. They need to act quickly. There is no point in taking 2-3 years to try and effect some change. The change must be immediate. And the pension issue is a major, major issue for those who are coming in since post-2013. with full service, they are going to be left on a pension that in some cases won't even meet the old age pension, the state pension. So these are crucial issues. As I say, pay is always going to be an issue. We've seen it again in other reports whereby, you know, a guard and a nurse who are married, or two guards, a guard and a teacher, can't afford to buy a property in Dublin, for example. That's not going to encourage members, either young members or indeed members in the mid-30s, who may well from anywhere in the country be subject to transfer on their first station into the centre of Dublin. They won't be able to enter into that contract of employment financially. They'll be prohibited from doing that. So the terms and conditions to pay the pension, these must be looked at and addressed quickly in order to affect some significant change.
Are they across the board, Mark? When you look at the pay issue, is it that you want to see pay increased for all ranks and all serving members, or is it a frontline issue or a senior issue?
I think it's across the board. I think it is. I mean, it's not just guard or rank that are resigning early, although the vast majority of those resigning early would be of guard or rank. But we're seeing it from different ranks as well. And speaking to my colleagues in the other representative bodies of the different ranks, they're encountering the same difficulties in relation to retention that we are, but obviously not to the same numbers, simply by the amount of numbers we have in of guard or rank in the GRA.
You talked about the cost of living issues in Dublin. There was suggestions for some time that, particularly with teacher recruitment challenges, that you might have a Dublin allowance. Should the same be the case for an Garda Síochána?
Well, we've raised that, but it has been met, with just basically. It hasn't been listened to, you know, similar to the London waiting allowance. And as you say, teachers have called for it. And it may go some way to assist for members coming into Dublin where the cost of living is so great. But again, there seems to be no progress on that. It hasn't been received well when we have raised that. But it is something that we raise and I think should be looked at.
Now, we talk about recruitment and retention as if they are the same thing, but they aren't of necessity. The reason that somebody in their 30s, 40s, 50s decides to leave a career early versus the selection that somebody makes when they're leaving school or college might be very different. Have you a sense of what the difference is in those two sets of decisions?
Well, I suppose for those members or prospective members who are coming into the job, we wouldn't get to interview them or speak with them before they enter in. So the reason why they don't take up the offer, we believe, is purely to do with the training allowance and what they see, in the media in relation to what the job of a guard is like and how tough it is. But they then look at that and they will see the conditions of service, the support or lack of support, as we have highlighted, that they will encounter if they take up the offer, the lack of pension at the end, the oversight, and just the frontline difficulties they will face on a daily basis. So that's one issue we believe why they won't come into the job. But for those members who are in the job and serving, we have highlighted all of the issues, the oversight, as I say, pension issues, terms and conditions in relation to just normal travel and subsistence that they're entitled to, and the delay in getting any answers and agreements on all of these issues, IT systems that tie people up in knots. And well, there has at last been an acknowledgement that some of the IT systems need addressing to reduce the workload and the burdensome workload on our members. Again, that is slow. And while that is beginning to filter through, it has taken quite some time for our members to see that on the front line. And so all of these issues need to be addressed in a much more effective, efficient manner. It can take years, or else we are going to see an increase in numbers next year. For those members who remain, they're going to be under even further pressure. And I think that those members who may otherwise have remained will quite possibly consider resigning early and moving on to different chosen career paths.
Text asking if Garda staff are also leaving and resigning, as in civilian staff working in Garda stations and in HQ.
I think that would be unjust of me to answer. It would just be hypothetical, I think, really. I can't speak for them. But I know within our own role, we have an increased number. This year, for example, the most recent figures are we've had 115 resignations and 184 retirements. So that is up on last year, and that is just for our own ranks. So speaking for ourselves, it is a real problem, and we believe it to be a real crisis that needs addressing immediately.
You said earlier on that some of those in positions of power had been critical of you for effectively denigrating the career and therefore creating a self-fulfilling prophecy, that you being on in interviews like this, giving out about the standards that Gardaí have to suffer through, makes it highly unlikely that somebody listening says, well, that's the career for me. Is there a corollary of that, which is that there should be more done to make the attractive aspects of the career known? We've seen the Defence Forces undertake fairly significant recruitment advertising. We've seen Dublin Bus do the same thing. Should the Guards be doing it?
I absolutely believe they should be. And I think that there should be a full engagement with ourselves, the GRA, and indeed with the other rep bodies, a full proper collaborative approach in relation to a positive recruitment campaign and drive.
Mark, thank you for your time this morning. That is Mark O'Mara, who is president of the Garda Representative Association.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.